Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our reading begins by telling us that after 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John, his brother, to a high mountain. 6 days after what? 6 days after Jesus had asked his disciples at Caesarea Philippi who the people thought Jesus was. After John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets were given an answer, Jesus asked his disciples directly, "But who do you say that I am?" It was then that Peter confessed for the 12, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus followed by giving the 12 the office of the keys, the authority to forgive sins and retain sins. And he would repeat this again after his resurrection from the dead. But what Jesus said next was sobering. He foretold his suffering and death, to which Peter strenuously objected, earning him the name Satan, adversary. Immediately, Jesus told his disciples that they must bear the cross as well. That is the context of our Lord's transfiguration. The Greek word which is translated as transfigured comes to us in English through the Latin. It simply means to change in manner visible to others. Jesus' body took on the form of his heavenly glory, the glory which he set aside when he became incarnate in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And that heavenly glory was hidden in his earthly flesh, so that to all human eyes, he was indeed a true man, just as we confess in the creeds. There was also a bright cloud which overshadowed them. The cloud signifies the presence of God. Think of the wilderness wanderings of God's people as they came out of Egypt. At the front of the march, there was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Then remember the thick cloud, the thunder, the lightnings, the earthquakes at Mount Sinai when God descended to meet with Moses and deliver the Ten Commandments. God's presence filled the Israelites with fear. Jesus is God in the flesh, the second person of the Holy Trinity. At the birth of John the Baptist, Zechariah, John's father, prophesied this about the Christ. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." Here on this mountain, God has another word for us, quite different than the word given in the cloud at Mount Sinai. It is a word of fulfillment, a word of grace, a word of hope, a word of glory. Jesus appeared to them in a splendor never seen before by the eyes of man. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Moses and Elijah were engaged in conversation with Jesus. And according to Luke's account, they were discussing Jesus' pending death at Jerusalem. But Peter was able to make this scene last. This is about what the disciples wanted, to see the glory of God. Peter quickly forgot about what Jesus had said 6 days earlier about Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. Peter wanted to put up 3 tents so they could keep this vision alive, but it was not to be. While the conversation went on, there was a voice which came from the bright cloud. It was the voice of the Father addressed to the 3 disciples. "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." A word which is spoken. A word is spoken which caused all three disciples to fall on their faces terrified. Now that they had heard the Father in heaven speak, they were terrified. It was a simple word. Jesus is God's beloved Son, His only begotten Son. And what He was about to do pleased the Father. And then to the three disciples, this simple exhortation, listen to Him. But Peter was always getting things wrong. He was impetuous. His mouth was engaged before his brain was in gear. And it wasn't the first time, and it wouldn't be the last time. Yet in our epistle reading today, we have the words of the Apostle Peter, who this time gets it completely right. Peter recounted the visual and physical scene there on the mountain. But that was not the most important thing. The glory isn't what he wants us to remember here, but this. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It was the Word of God. All of the promises of the centuries before are fulfilled in Jesus. All of the law and the promises are fulfilled in Jesus. And Peter wants us to know, first of all, that the Word of God was not the product of men, but of God. Nothing that was said in the Old Testament was produced by men who thought it would be a good idea to do so. No, the impetus for the Word came from God, the Holy Spirit, who caused it to be spoken by men whom God selected. That alone is the only sure thing in this world. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, said Jesus. When I was in high school, our German teacher would play German folk songs and military songs, some of which are certainly politically incorrect these days. But there was one folk song called Die Lorelei, a poem by Heinrich Heine about a mermaid-like beautiful woman who perched on a large rock on the Rhine River. There were shoals, and her siren song would lure sailors to their deaths. The song spoke of the temptation to get to this beautiful creature so strong that experienced sailors forgot their skills and ended up dying on the jagged rocks because they could not resist her beauty. It's a folk legend, but a picture of voices which tempt us to lose our hearing for God's word. I posted a few pieces on the door in the back hallway if you're interested in Die Lorelei and some of the pictures. But this is the exhortation for us. Listen to him. The verb is present active indicative, which means continuing action. Keep listening to him. The Father in heaven is insisted. Don't stop listening to Jesus. Why? Because these myriad voices will cause our ears to be stopped up. We will be so enamored by what many in the world say that we no longer listen to Jesus. And if you're a young person, most of the voices you listen to are your peers. And it's part of adolescence that what you say about others can cause you great suffering and pain. The pressure to be accepted by others who may not be deserving of your attention is very great. Conform or be canceled. Listen to us. We'll ruin you socially. And sadly, many young people end up like the sailors in DeLorelei. But there are voices, these voices cannot bring you happiness nor life. They certainly cannot bring you to eternal life. Only Jesus has the words of eternal life. Adults, too, can fall under the spell of listening to other voices. It takes courage to speak up, to stand up for and speak out for the right. This past week, Tony Dungy, past coach of the Colts, TV football analyst, spoke at the Right to Life March in Washington, D.C. He endorsed ending abortion. He's an outspoken Christian. Within 24 hours, shrill voices were calling for NBC to fire him for his words and his actions. He may well lose his job if cowards in the media give in to the hate. Or the Russian National Hockey League player Ivan Provorov, who refused to wear the Pride Night jersey in warm-up, saying, "My choice is to stay true to myself and my religion." He's a practicing Christian in the Russian Orthodox Church. National Women's Soccer League player Jalene Daniels also created headlines last summer when she refused to wear a Pride-themed jersey and subsequently had to sit out an entire game. Being faithful to the word of Jesus may bring you difficult choices in life. But remember that he alone is the one who went to the cross for you to redeem you. He is the one who has paid the price to bring you to eternal life. There in Jerusalem, Jesus suffered and died for the sins of the world. He did it for you. The one who did this for you is the one to whom you are to listen, to keep listening to. Listen to the word of God proclaimed and distributed in the blessed sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Listen when you read the scriptures, for God speaks clearly in these words. And listen to Peter's injunction in our epistle reading. You will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. There is glory ahead for those who keep trusting this word. Our Lord promises it. He will bring us to that glorious place, the place of which the transfiguration is only a tantalizing taste. He will bring us to heaven, where we shall see God face to face. We shall see him as he is. Keep listening to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.